Scripture reading this morning is from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 55. That's not it. Isaiah 55, verses 1. Yes. Verses 1 through 3. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. So invitations are special. Reverend Bill Gordoner is the founder of Broad Street Ministry in Philadelphia. Broad Street is involved in many outreaches in the community. One of the biggest and most ambitious things that they do is an ongoing series of dinner parties to which they invite the homeless, the hungry, and the at-risk types. And he shares this story about the power of an invitation. My son recently started a new school. If you remember what that was like, the most important thing you can do is to try to fit in. He was anxious, understandably, and trying to make a friend. That space between stranger and friend was collapsed by one child in particular. On the first week of school, he stuck a piece of paper in my son's hand that basically invited him to his birthday party. My son came home a different child than when he had left the house. He was changed because of the power of this invitation from a perfect stranger to him. Yes, indeed, invitations are special. And what I want us to see in Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, is that God, I don't know why is this doing this to me? Okay, never mind that. Is that God is a very inviting God. Now, the word inviting has two meanings. You can say, this spot is inviting. And you mean that it's pleasant and attractive to be there and that you feel drawn to come there. Or you can say, you know, so-and-so is inviting me to come to his house on Tuesday. And by that, you mean that something special is happening and he says he wants you to come. And the wonderful thing about God is that he is inviting in both of these senses. And no text of the Bible shows it more vividly than our text this morning, Isaiah 55, 1 through 13. God comes forward with a great invitation, and not for just the few, and not for those just for those who can pay their way, but for everyone. One more try. Nope. So as we begin, I want to ask three questions from the text in Isaiah 55. First of all, who are invited? Secondly, what are they offered? And thirdly, what are they told to do in order to get it? So first, who are invited? And the answer is two kinds of people. The first kind of person is described in verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So the first kind of person that God invites to come to him is the thirsty and the people who can't pay for what they need. In other words, the thirsty and the broke. Those who are thirsty and those who cannot pay. Now, some of us may be in that category. And we have a thirst in our heart. And our heart feels like brown grass, you know, kind of like the grass in my yard. The brown grass that's dried up. Hasn't rained, you know, since, I don't know, how long has it been? A month or so? And a lot of old hopes have dried up. Dreams that have waited and almost dry, dead end streets again and again, empty unfulfilled, dissatisfied, knowing that there just has to be something more to life. Some of us are in that condition. All of us are in that condition sometime or another. But now everything that looks good is out of reach. There's no money, no strength, no motivation. But at least there's longing. There's a thirst. The Lord says, you are a candidate for what I have to offer. Come, you thirsty. You who have no money, no resources, no position of influence, no track record, no power, no prestige, no pull. God is inviting you to enjoy the banquet of salvation. But there's a second kind of person that God invites. And that's a good thing, because I think that the rest of us who don't feel like we're in category one will fit into this one. And that kind of person is described in verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? So in verse 1 says, you know, you who are thirsty, who have no money, come. In verse 2, he talks about someone who has money, who has resources, who has strength, the strength to labor. The first kind of person is the person who is spiritually bankrupt and knows it. They're thirsty and broke. But the second kind of person isn't quite there yet. They got money, they're spending it. They got strength, and they're working. But what's the result? Frustration. He's not like the other guy, burnt out at the end of his rope. He's still spending, he's still working, he's still dreaming, searching, chasing. You know, maybe a different job, a different city, a different car, a different house, a different wife, a new computer, a new boat, a new book, a new bike, a new car, a new grill, season tickets, I don't know. There's still a lot of looking left in this person, but there's still no pot at the end of the rainbow and no fountain of youth. And every victory eventually leads to disappointment. The applause fades, the boat is boring, the style passes, everything new gets old, and the options get fewer and fewer. And when we are honest, we know that there is need and longing on the inside, no matter how self-sufficient we look on the outside. And God knows even better than we do. He has us in mind when he says, why do you spend your money for bread, which is no bread, and your labor for dreams that do not satisfy? So two kinds of people are invited by the Lord. The thirsty who are broke and cannot pay, and the thirsty who think they can pay and work their way to satisfaction. So I think that everybody in this room, everybody in the world fits into one of those two categories, if we are honest with ourselves. Second question, what is offered? Well, the answer is given in three steps. The benefits in verse 1, the quality and quantity of the benefits in verse 2, and the reality behind the pictures described in verse 3. So first, the benefits. Verse 1, we are offered water, wine, and milk. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. And these three things, these three drinks, correspond to deep needs that every one of us has. Water corresponds to the need for refreshment. When you are the most thirsty, the most desperate, the most dehydrated, it's water that you want. It's water that you need, and nothing else will satisfy. Psalm 23, of course, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So God invites us to receive refreshment, restoration, and a new beginning. Milk corresponds to the need for ongoing nourishment. When someone is gasping for life, you give them water. But when you want a little baby to grow, day after day, you give it milk. And you give it again and again. God is not just for emergencies. God is not just for when we're at the end of our ropes and need to be rescued. God is there for the long haul. He is in there to sustain us and strengthen us and give us health. He invites us not only to come alive with water, but also to grow and be strong with milk. And wine corresponds to our need for exhilaration. We want to live and not die. We want to be strong and stable and growing instead of weak and wavering. But that's not all we want in life. No matter how serious, how calm, how laid back, how conservative you are, there is a child inside each of us that God made for exhilaration, for shouting and singing and dancing and playing and jumping in mud puddles, you know, and running and laughing. So what verse 1 says is that God is willing to revive us from the heat of the desert with the miracle of his water, to make us strong and healthy and stable with the miracle of his milk, and then to give us endless and everlasting exhilaration with the miracle of his wine. We look at the quality. The last part of verse 2 describes the quality and quantity of these benefits of water, milk, and wine. It says, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Now you know the word good, what the word good means. It means that what God offers is top quality. It's the best there is. But that word richest of fare, that's kind of a, you know, that's the NIV that translates to the NIV making a judgment call. The real word in the Hebrew is fatness. Delight, or you will delight in fatness. Well, you know, we're not supposed to eat fat, right? That's what the CDC tells us, stay away from the fat. No, maybe fat's okay now. I never can remember, because the stuff that was supposed to kill us now is okay. So I think we're supposed to have fat, but we're supposed to stay away from sugar, or is it? Anyway, I don't remember. But when we look at that word fatness and you chase it throughout the Bible, you find out that it refers to quantity. Quantity of what we, of food. I lost my place in my notes. It means that what God gives is good and it is plentiful. The water is good and it is plentiful. The milk is good and it is plentiful. The wine is good and it is plentiful. The Bible loves to talk about the riches of God's glory and the fullness of joy at his right hand. He gives what is best and it never runs out. That's what Jesus means in the Gospel of John chapter 4 when he says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then in verse 3, God tells us what the reality is behind all this imagery. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. So in verse 1, he says, come to the waters. Come, buy wine and milk. But in verse 3, he says, come to me. You see, God is our living water. God is our nourishing milk. God is our exhilarating wine. Psalm 73 puts it like this. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Then he goes on to say in verse 3 that when we come to him, he makes a covenant with us. What kind of covenant is that? The same kind of covenant, he says, that he made with King David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It is an everlasting covenant, a covenant of faithful love. And that means that when you come to God, he binds himself to you with an unbreakable oath to pursue you with goodness and mercy all the days of your life and right on into eternity, with ever refreshing water, with ever strengthening milk, with ever exhilarating wine, forever and ever. Which brings us to the final practical question, question number 3. What are we told to do to get these benefits? Well, there are 12 imperatives in this verse, in these 3 verses. 12 imperatives. Let me point them out as we read. I got to find it now. Let me point them out as we read through it together again. Yeah, sure I will. Well, not totally organized here this morning. It's here somewhere. Well, maybe we won't read through it again, but I'll point them out. So in verse 1, he says, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money," he says, "come," that's 2, "buy," 3, "and eat," 4. "Come," 5, "buy wine and milk without money, without cost." I think I'm up to 6. "Why spend money on what is not bread and on your labor which does not satisfy? Listen to me and" what? "Eat what is good, and you will delight." Delight there is actually an imperative, a command, in the richest affair. "Give ear," again, "and come to me. Listen," again, "that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." Anyway, there were 12 of them. And when you think about those 12 commands for a moment, they fall into a natural pattern. First, there are 3 commands to listen carefully. There's 1 in verse 2, and there's 2 in verse 3. So that's where we begin. Take heed how you hear. Are we learning God's word? God's invitation this morning is, don't let the sound and fury of the world drown out his invitation to heaven. And then all the rest of God's invitation falls into 4 steps. There's come. Come, you see that? He says, buy. He says, eat. And finally, delight or enjoy. That is what the Bible means by faith. Verse 1, he says, come to the waters. But in verse 3, he says, come to me. God himself is the water, the milk, and the wine. And everybody in this room is in one of these 4 steps. And whatever step you're in, my invitation to you this morning is to take another step. First step is come. If you are distant from God, you need to come. You need to draw near. The second is buy. If you have drawn near to God, but you're holding back from a commitment to him, analyzing and appraising, you need to buy. It's a strange transaction. There's no price. You are spiritually bankrupt. You couldn't pay for it if you wanted to. But you must take this water and this milk and this wine and count it yours just as much as you had bought it, because there is one who has bought it. So if you have come, if you have purchased, if you have made the transaction and you hold the water and the milk and the wine in your hand, you need to eat. God is not a thing to be studied. He's not something to be held off at arm's length and analyzed. He is a person to be experienced. He is food and life and joy for the soul. And finally, if you have eaten, delight yourself in the Lord. This is just as important as the others, but the part that is often forgotten. Delight in the Lord. Enjoy your relationship with him. And say with the psalmist in Psalm 16, You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Let's stand for prayer. Father God, you invite us to come to you. You invite us to receive your, your life-giving water, your nourishing milk, the exhilaration of your wine. And you do it all with no price. You say, come and buy, but then you say, but I've already purchased it for you. All you need do, child, is receive. Father, we thank, we pray for your forgiveness where we have not opened ourselves to you, where we have not received you as we ought to have, where we have held you at arm's length and not allowed you to come into our hearts and fully fill us and fully transform us and fill us with your joy and delight. And finally, Lord, we thank you that we can rejoice in you. We thank you that we can have joy in your presence. We thank you that in eternity, as we spend long ages with you, that we will have joy unending. For that we give you praise and thanks in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.